chapter 12 tonight, Acts chapter 12. I was praying about what the Lord would have me to do to bring us back, our focus back on praying as a church family. And the Lord laid this message on my heart that I've already preached. When I was preparing the church for a prayer meeting, the Lord led me to preach a message entitled Prayer of the Church. And tonight, I'm not going to re-preach this whole message to you, but I felt the Lord just leading me to hit the high points, so to speak, just to remind you of what the Lord laid on my heart for that particular message. As we gear our church towards being a praying church. Now, let me explain to you again tonight that coming together as a church family to pray is a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing. But a praying church does not take the place of a praying individual. And what I mean by that is, if you're not an individual, church family, am I cutting in and out? I thought I heard that there. Let me make sure everything's good here. We'll see what happens, okay? This does not take the place of your individual prayer life, is what I'm trying to say to you. All this is an added feature to your Christian life. It's a blessing to come together as a church family, going the same direction to get a hold of God. And there's no question in my mind that God has led me to lead this church to be a more of a praying church together as a collective body. There's no question in my mind. I'm glad when I can get it, because sometimes it's hard to discern the word. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like the Lord says, that's it. And this is one of the areas that God has laid on my heart, and I know it is the will of God. There's no question. There's no question about it. I remind you why this local church exists: for the glory of God. How do you glorify Him? By obeying His commands. What's His commands He's given to the local church? Carrying out the Great Commission. Caring for the local body. And crying unto Him in prayer. And this is that part of that three-pronged purpose statement, if you will, for the local church. If we are constantly do, 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 go, 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 but we do not pause to pray, we have missed what this local church exists for. We need God. You know what prayer is? It's a declaration of dependence. You know, we like having the Declaration of Independence in the United States of America. But in prayer, it's the declaration of dependence. We are telling God, I need you. Let me ask you a question. Do you need God? Let me ask you a question. Does your marriage need God? Let me ask you a question. Does this church need God? Does the bus ministry, Sunday school, deacons, pastor and wife, staff and wife, choir, I mean, you name it, Cadets for Christ, preschool, primary, nursery, we all need God, which means every aspect of this church must know that and practice that, and we reveal our answer to that question, not by shaking our head yes, but by how much we spend on our knees before God. We need the Lord. We need God. And tonight, Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, the Bible says that Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer of the church. Let's pray together as I'm turning our attention back on this, and we're officially launching this prayer meeting tonight, just introducing it to you, and then we're preparing the church for prayer. Okay? Father, we love you tonight. Pray that you'll help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. E.M. Bounds said, to be little with God is to be little for God. R.A. Torrey said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. That's a powerful statement. D.L. Moody said, prayer is the key in the morning and the bolt in the evening. It opens the door in the morning and slams the door at night. Dr. John R. Rice said, prayerlessness is the grandfather of all sin. Spurgeon said, if our life is all in public, it will be frothy, vapory, ineffectual existence. But if we hold high converse with God in secret, we shall be mighty for good. I don't believe there's a person here who would disagree with the fact that we need to pray. I don't think you'd be here on Wednesday night and disagree with that statement that we need to pray. But how many here, including me, have a prayer life to prove it? Now, we need to pray. We must have God's power. We need the Lord. And prayer is an acknowledgement of all these facts that I just said. E.M. Bounds said, the estimate and place of prayer is the estimate and place of God. To give prayer the secondary place is to make God secondary in life's affairs. Someone said, nothing of eternal significance ever happens apart from prayer. Now, while we know we should have a personal, passionate prayer life, we ought to personally be praying, passionately be praying, personally now, in secret. Lately, and it's been several months now, the Lord has been burdening my heart as your pastor about the importance and power of a praying church family. If we're ever going to be all the Lord desires us to be, then this church must pray. Spurgeon said, and I quote, prayer is a grand cement, and lack of prayer is like withdrawing the force of gravitation from a mass of matter and scattering it into so many separate atoms. Some churches are feeble all around. The members are a race of invalids, a body of infirm members who can hardly hobble about in the ways of godliness. They have no life, no energy or enterprise for Christ. And do you wonder at it when their meetings for prayer are so scantily attended? And let me say this, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because you're here. And I thank you for being here. But God has so worked in my heart that when we launch this prayer meeting, the way it's going to be functioning is when you come at 7 o'clock, almost immediately I'm going to be preaching the message. Because around 7:35, 7:40, somewhere around that time, so to speak, we're going to be breaking for prayer. And we're going to be praying. Nobody has to stay. You're urged to stay, but nobody has to stay. And as we break for prayer, let me say this to you. When you turn the church's focus onto prayer like this and it becomes a true church prayer meeting, I don't know what kind of effect that's going to have. But may I say this to you? God has so worked in my heart, and please don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say, but He's so worked in my heart that if the numbers dwindle on Wednesday night, excuse me, I don't care if we're getting a hold of God. Did you understand what I just said? Now, don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not saying I don't care if you come, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But if the numbers start dwindling off and we only have a handful here on Wednesday night, but that handful knows how to get a hold of God, God will bless this local church. Amen. I'm trying to prepare you because, friends, God is working in my heart with this. God is so moving in my heart that I know that He wants to take this church to the next level. There's no question. God wants us to advance and do more and more and more. And what He's showing and what He's laying on my heart is, Jody, I do not expect you to advance without advancing in your prayer life first. We must pray. We must get a hold of God. And I want to say this to you. It's not that you're going to come on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, ready to get on your face and beg God for something, friends, because we're battling the flesh. There'll be nights I won't even want to be here. There'll be nights that you don't feel like coming because the devil's going to fight this. Mark it down, friends. He's going to fight this, and he's going to fight it in your life. Don't let him get the victory. Let's come together and get a hold of God. One of the secrets to any successful ministry is its prayer life. Spurgeon, I'm quoting him some here because I read about his prayer meeting and I got help out of it. He said, what is the secret to the success of his ministry in this church? He was asked that question. What's the secret of your success? After the meeting, he took the man who asked the question down under the main body of the church to a hall underneath. And there were hundreds of people praying while he was preaching upstairs. While he was preaching upstairs, hundreds of his people were underneath him begging God to bless. And while he was in the act of throwing the gospel net forth, there were people weeping and crying and travailing with God in prayer. When God began to move in the ministry of George Whitefield, he recorded in his diary after one of the movings of the Spirit of God these words, and I quote, here's what he said. Sometimes whole nights were spent in prayer. Often we've been filled as with new wine, and often we've been overwhelmed with the divine presence and crying out, will God indeed dwell with men upon the earth? How dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. There was an awareness of God that God had come to dwell among his people. Oh, how we need this today. In a world where local churches have changed praying for programs and interceding has been replaced with entertainment, let us at this church put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. And let us be a church who truly comes together to pray and watch our God work as only He can. Can I let you in my heart just a minute? There are churches around America that are growing by leaps and bounds. I'm talking about people coming in, leaving other churches and going to those churches. I'm not trying to criticize those churches. But some of those churches are churches that are doctrinally not sound. They're changing their music. They're dropping their standards. And may I say this to you? I'm not tempted in those areas, okay? But we've got to combat against, who do we want to build Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Do we want us to try to build this place? Or do we want God to build it? May I say this to you? I do not want to fall prey of trying to change things to get people into this church. I want to fall prey to a depending spirit upon the Lord Jesus Christ and get on my face and beg God, you keep this church straight, going the right direction, doing the right things. And God, you help us to be a praying church. I mean, I say this to you, if we're truly praying the way we should be praying, we will be going the way we should be going. A praying church is not a lazy church. A praying church is an obedient church. And when we get our heart right with God and pray and seek God, God will help us go out and reach a lost and dying world. What I'm saying to you is there's so many places that are bypassing this. I don't want to bypass this. I want to be a church that goes to God in prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The early days of the local church in the New Testament were dominated by corporate prayer, coming together to pray. Just read Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. I mean, they're just coming together. And God transformed the world at that time through a praying church. You know, the same could happen today. It really could. It's been said the acid test is the prayer level of the church. Do you realize the acid test is not the number that comes to it? Now, let me say this to you. If I have it my way, the whole Tri-Cities would come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm sick of this stuff. You shouldn't be, just don't be consumed with numbers. We're not consumed with numbers, but numbers represent individual souls for whom Jesus Christ died, which means we're going after numbers, friends. We're going after them. Now, it's not our motive here. Our motive is God and God's glory. But we ought to be going after people. They did in the New Testament. But they did not bypass prayer to do it. They were a praying church. Now, this being the case, there were several things that I shared with you about the praying church in the New Testament. And I'm just going to try to tap these on the head because I want to give you the new prayer sheet and go over this with you to show you how this is going to work, okay? First of all, prayer of the church, the local assembly in the New Testament, prayer was commanded, still is commanded. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. That's written to the church at Colossae. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Those commands were written to local churches. And I'm telling you that God commanded the church to pray. Secondly, it was unified prayer. Now, I've already preached on all this. I preached on it last year. But I'm just kind of bringing you back up to date, just refreshing you on this sermon that I preached to you. The prayer of the local church was commanded, but secondly, it was unified prayer. The Word of God says in Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Romans 15:30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together for me in your prayers to God for me. That's the Apostle Paul writing to those people. Acts 4:24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 teaches this same principle. Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you, Jesus said, if two of you shall agree, that's unified, shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The prayer of the local church was commanded. The prayer of the local church was unified. In his book called The Pursuit of God, the author A.W. Tozer, he wrote this, and I quote, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other that could be possible because if they begin to try to be in tune with that person and that person and that person, friends, you're going to beat yourself silly if you do that. The way to be in tune and unified as a church body is every piece of the body, every member of the body is in tune with Christ. And if I'm in tune with Christ and you're in tune with Christ, we're automatically in tune with one another. You see what I'm saying? You show me a church that's disunified, I show you members who are not one with Christ. They have messed up here. That works for marriages. That works for relationships. Any kind of a horizontal relationship, the key to it is the vertical relationship. Is your heart in tune with God? If your heart's in tune with God, then your heart will be in tune with everybody else's heart who's in tune with God. That's the Acts church. That's the local church in the book of Acts. They were unified as individuals around Christ, and therefore they're praying the same thing. They're asking God for the same thing. It was unified prayer. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know one of the greatest things about Buffalo Ridge? The unity here. Honestly, I'm serious. I mean, we are such a unified church. We really are. The leadership, the deacon family, and so on with the pastor, the church as a whole. We are a unified church. And friends, let me say something to you. When we're unified and we're praying the same things and we're agreeing in God and our hearts are right with God, God's going to answer the prayers of this local church, friends. He's going to do it. He's promised to. It's unified prayer. Number three, it was continuous prayer. Acts 1:14 says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts 2:41 and 42, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued. Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let me say this to you. It's been said that prayer is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Do you understand that? See, there's a lot of people who in their prayer life, they get burdened and they get convicted and they come busting out of the gate, just sprinting as hard as they can, trying to get to the finish line, and they wear out. That's not prayer. Prayer is a marathon where you must pace yourself and you must keep going and keep going. Are you in it for the long haul? In other words, when you feel like it, will you come? When you don't feel like it, will you come anyway? Will you just keep on praying? See, the local church of the New Testament, they just kept on praying. They just continued in it. God help Buffalo Ridge to be a local church that just refuses to stop praying. Amen or not, friends. Just keep on praying. They continued. It was continuous prayer. Number four, it was earnest prayer. Fervent, if you will. Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The word prayer in this verse means earnest prayer, fervent prayer. The word earnest has been defined as serious in intention. We should never come to God blowing and popping bubble gum, is what I'm saying to you. I'm talking spiritual terms. Just a flippant attitude, just, well, here we go, let's go pray. No, we are approaching the King of the universe. We are getting in the throne room of God Almighty. And it ought to be very serious in nature. We're coming with a purpose, with effort, with zealousness, showing depth and sincerity of feeling. Seriously important. This is all in this word earnest. Demanding or receiving serious attention. Meaning business. Coming, really getting a hold of God. This is what summarized the New Testament church. We can only imagine how that prayer meeting was that night. Wouldn't you like to just listen in on that prayer meeting when they were praying for Peter? Because the Word of God says, it used the word, they were earnestly praying. That church, this is what we need. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Number five, it was specific prayer. This is where the prayer sheet comes in, okay? This prayer sheet that we're getting ready to give out to you, and I'm going to work through it with you, this is the specific aspect of this local church's prayer life. God doesn't just want you to pray for the missionaries. God bless the missionaries. Now, we're all guilty of doing that probably, okay? He wants you to get specific. We got specific tonight, amen? We're getting specific with Brother Gibson's daughter. That's a specific request. And God wants us to pray for his daughter. Specifically. And this is where the list came out. Now this list will begin to start on this prayer list next week. You won't find it in here, but all these things that the New Testament church prayed for, just some of the things. Remember, it was boldness. I preached on all this. You can go back and get it. They prayed for the persecuted. Do you think our persecuted brothers and sisters would appreciate being prayed for from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Sure. They prayed for their missionaries. They prayed for their leaders. They prayed for the knowledge of God's will. God, show us your will. They prayed for strength, endurance, and joy. They prayed for God's will to be done and God's name to be glorified. They prayed to know Christ's love and be filled with God's fullness. In their prayer life, sometimes all they did was just praise God. They didn't ask. They just came into God's presence just to pray, to praise God for who he is. You know, sometimes God may lead us at Buffalo Ridge on a Wednesday night when I say, okay, we're getting ready to break up into groups, whatever the case may be, and I'm going to tell you, here's how God's leading me. Let's not ask him for anything. Let's just turn it into a praise prayer meeting, and let's just praise him for how good he's been to us. You know, some Wednesday nights, God no doubt's going to lead in that direction. Sometimes it's good just to go to God, not to ask for anything. But just to go into his presence and say, I just want to tell you, I love you. And I just want to tell you, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for shedding your blood, dying on the cross, taking off. Friends, if we just start thanking God, it could take us from now until eternity begins to roll around. Sometimes they just thank God, praise God. They prayed for a nation's salvation. They really did. I mean, the local church prayed for a nation south. I mean, Paul prayed for the nation of Israel that they be saved. Can I say this to you? America needs churches like this one to pray for America's salvation. Amen? This church's prayer can make a difference in the United States of America. It can. If we believe, and if we keep going, and if we just get a hold of God, and we're in tune with God and unified with one another, there's no telling what God can do. They prayed for those in authority. They prayed for the sick among them. They prayed for wisdom and laborers and God's provision. On and on we could go here. One person said, the average congregant, person in a church, spends more time watching television in one day than he spends in all spiritual pursuits combined in an entire week. Now that's an average. Prayer must be a priority. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. E.M. Bounds said, Satan has effectively disarmed us when he can keep us too busy doing things to stop and pray. As we approach a church-wide prayer meeting, burdened to pray and knowing we ought to pray, let us not forget the reason that we should pray is because God is truly worthy to be prayed to. And He is worthy to be sought and obeyed. It's been said the only enduring motive for prayer is that God is worthy to be sought. He is worthy to be sought. I'm just about done here. And then we're going to pass these out and look at them. One man said, if we depend upon an organization, we get what an organization can do. If we depend upon education, we get what education can do. But if we depend upon prayer, we will get what God can do. Boy, I like that. Spurgeon said, the condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. If God be near a church, it must pray. There's no doubt it's the will of God for this local church to be a praying church. Amen? Yes? No doubt. If we desire to have the smile of God on this ministry, we will be a praying church. And as we approach our church-wide prayer meetings, let us remember that we're praying to an audience of one. It is God. And let us remember that God is truly worthy to be sought. Let us remember, as taken from a book that I read, an authentic prayer life and the vision for a praying church is a marathon, as I've already said, not a sprint. In other words, let us be committed to this prayer meeting until the Lord calls us home. Now, with that being said, I need several men. Brother Gary has them. I need several men to help him pass out these prayer sheets. We should have enough so everybody here gets a copy of that, okay? I think we've got enough that all of us should get a copy of it. And I want you to take this, and I want Wade Farmer to make his way up here, because tonight, all we're going to do is introduce this, and I'm going to have him lead us in prayer tonight. But I want to walk you through this so you know what to expect, okay? If you'll just have a seat up here with me, Wade. Wade is our deacon chairman, and the reason I'm having him do this is because the deacons are going to be playing a major role in this, I'll talk to you about all this, okay? I want everybody to have one. I'll give myself about 10 or 15 minutes here, so to speak. I want to walk you through this, and then I want to just talk to you about how God's working in my heart, and then we'll hit the ground running next week on this, okay? So come prepared next Wednesday to hear me preach first, okay? And then honestly, I don't want anybody, truly, if at 7:30 or whenever we break for prayer, if you need to leave, no problem. Nobody's going to look down on you. But I hope that if you come on Wednesday night, you're going to come and stay with us, okay? Because we want to turn this into a true prayer meeting, all right? Now, let's make sure everybody has this before I start going over it. And then we'll work on this, and I'll show you some things here, talk to you about it, and then we're going to conclude our prayer here shortly. Okay? Does everybody have a copy of this? Everybody have a copy? Okay, if you'll take this out, let's work through this together. Okay? If you'll notice on the front cover, by the way, I appreciate Bob Mann designing this. He did a great job with that. I appreciate Miss Charlotte, who's Bob was helping her with this today, and she's the one that's going to be typing everything on it, and then Brenda's the one that runs them off and folds them. So this is a three-part team work here, okay? And I appreciate that. These are beautifully done. I like the color blue, so that's why they're blue, okay? Blue's really my favorite color. It doesn't matter, right? We're to be unified. Blue, okay? That's good. Now, if you'll notice the front cover here, this front cover will change occasionally. I may put a quote on there from somebody about prayer or another Bible verse. I would encourage you to really focus on this front cover because you can memorize that verse. You can look, because the purpose of this prayer sheet is this. We will be praying through this prayer sheet on Wednesday nights, but we want you to take this home and be praying about these things throughout the week in your personal prayer life. This is going to be added to my prayer list, is what I'm saying. And I'm going to be praying through this prayer list throughout the week. But when we come together on Wednesday nights, we're going to be praying through this as a church family together. Okay? Certain sections will pray for this. Certain sections will pray for that. If you'll open it up, just open the whole thing up. And you can notice basically what was on the other prayer sheet along with some other things have been added to this. There's a place for you to write down some prayer requests. Occasionally I'll say, if you wouldn't mind to write this down. You know, something special's coming up. That's a place for you to write that down. In the middle there, you notice there's a Sunday school section that will change every week. There's a church ministry section that will change every week. There's a bus route section that will change every week. There's a staff member of the week section that will change every week. Deacon of the week, that'll change every week. The missionaries are right there on the top right-hand corner. Notice what we're doing. So we're giving you the name, where they serve, and their email address. You're listening to their prayer list in here. So as you're listening to it, you could write some things down beside their name, whatever you want to do. Then the bottom two sections are new, okay? These are some things that we're doing. One of the things that the local church in the New Testament prayed for was laborers. The Lord Jesus Christ's prayer request was, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So we've added this section here. We're praying for laborers. And these sections will change. I believe the plan is that one week we're going to be praying for the United States and a certain section, like this week is the Northwest USA. We're praying for these states. We're praying for laborers to be there, churches to be planted there. And then the following week, we're going to go to a foreign field, okay? So there'll be another country. Like next week, that'll be a foreign field named there that we're praying for laborers to Ghana, West Africa, okay, or something like that. So we're praying for laborers here. The Truth Bible Clubs, these are the public school Bible clubs that we have going on now. And I like how we're listing all of them for you. By the way, it's our desire that this list will keep growing. We have four right now. I'd like for that to become 40. I'm not kidding when I say that. I don't even know if we have that many schools in the area, but I'm saying as many as we have, I'd love to have a public school Bible club in every school in the area. Every school in the area. Now that's a long-term goal. But we're praying for these Truth Bible Clubs and asking God to touch them. If you'll flip that over there, you'll notice there's the hospital section. This is a rare week where we have nobody in the hospital. So we're praying for Brother Charlie Moore, who's going to Vanderbilt. His surgery has been postponed, so he's kind of waiting on surgery, but I think he's already traveling down there for some tests or something along that line. Some of y'all might know the answer to that. We're praying for him. We're giving you one shut-in a week. It was two. We're going to now give you one. We're going to focus our attention on that one shut-in because I know Brother and Mrs. Cox are doing a fabulous job with the shut-in ministry. So those shut-ins are being contacted and visited and all of that. And then we're going to turn the church's attention on one a week. Nursing home, one a week there and those listed. Notice a special note, BRBC active military personnel. If you have an immediate family member, a parent, a spouse, a child, or a grandchild that's currently serving in the military, that doesn't mean they're deployed, but they're active. Like, Brother Marty, I want your name turned in for this. John Rourke's name needs to be turned in for this. If I mean, you could be here every week, but you're active military. You're in the military. I want every one of your names, okay? And one a week will be shared with you, okay? And we're praying for that person in the military. This is a different one, the government officials. We're going to give you a national official and a local official. And we're starting off with our president. I'm not going to ask you how you feel about him, what you think about him, all these kind of things. What I'm asking is how much have you prayed for him? We're commanded to pray for the kings. That's our president. I'm praying for President Obama. That God will get a hold of his heart, bring him to himself. That's the will of God, right? We pray for him. And notice we've got a local one, and he's one of our own, Commissioner Mark Larkey. And we want our people to know we're praying for them. Then if you'll flip it to the back, what we're planning on doing with the back is just the next big upcoming event. And notice the 1, 2, 3, that will stay the same. Pray for this event. Make plans to attend. Invite others to attend. And what we're praying for and what I'd like to ask you to pray for tonight is that, the Sweetheart Dinner, okay? We're praying for the Sweetheart Dinner. Now tonight, I've taken basically all the time here because I just wanted to show you what the prayer list looks like. This is for you to take home. You'll be receiving these next week like normal when you come in, okay? I just didn't want you having it, flipping through it when I was giving you the thoughts about prayer and so on, okay? So come prepared next week for this. And let me give you a little bit of instruction here. Here's what we're going to be doing. Occasionally, and maybe even most of the time, we'll be staying in the auditorium here as a church family. I may instruct you, if you're here with your mate, please grab your mate and pray together as a couple, and I'll instruct you with how many of you will pray for the military, how many of you will pray with this. We'll give you something specific. I'd like for every week that our church, different sections, are praying through this entire prayer sheet. Every week we're praying for this. Then there's going to be some weeks, I told you the deacons have a major part of this. Here's what we've done. We have divided our church roster. If you're on the church roster, and maybe not everybody here is, but if you're on our church roster, we have divided you up by zip code. And I have appointed a deacon or two to be your deacon or two, okay? You should be contacted by them occasionally. They are helping me with you. All right? And on specific Wednesday nights, it'll be once a month. One Wednesday night, our deacon groups are going to be meeting together. They will contact you. They're supposed to. I'm putting them on the spot here, by the way. They're supposed to contact you and say, now, this coming Wednesday is our group. Okay? And that means whenever we break for our groups, there'll be designated areas for Wade and Brother Steve, who have a group. They will know exactly where their group is going. You will inform your group of where you're going, all of that. And I will give them ahead of time what section of this prayer sheet I want them to pray for when they go into that room. Follow me what I'm doing? And then that group is building a relationship together under that deacon or those deacons who are loving on you and encouraging you and checking on you and all these other kind of things. But then they're leading that prayer group. And that whole group is going to be focused maybe on this inside right section. You see what I'm saying? All right? We're going to be doing the same thing with Sunday school. So if you teach Sunday school, I'm talking to the adult Sunday school teachers. I'm still thinking about the grades and all of that. We may just include you with the adults. But every Sunday school teacher, there will be a week, and I'm going to get with you to show you what I'm talking about here, okay? I've done this with the deacons, not done it with the adult Sunday school, so the adult Sunday school will not be next week is what I'm saying, okay? Because I've got to get with them. And show you how to run one of these prayer meetings and all of that. But occasionally, maybe every other week, the deacons, then we'll stay in here, then the Sunday school classes, then we'll stay in here. We're just going to try to keep this varied so it doesn't get monotonous, okay? And the Sunday school classes, when they can, will meet in their own Sunday school classes. Now, we may have to adjust because Cadets for Christ is going on, and it could be that Brother Gary's class may have to meet in here with Brother Harry's class, one of you in the back, one of you in the front. I don't know how we're going to work that out. I'm giving myself time to do that, okay? So this is what we're looking for here, all right? So come prepared to pray. I'm not talking about praying out loud. But you come prepared to get a hold of God. And let's beg God to touch this church and bless this prayer sheet and bless everything about it, and asking God to take this church to the next level. Now, occasionally, if you'll notice the inside cover here that now says, will you accept the challenge to read your Bible through? And at the bottom, it's got the weather change related things. Next week, there should be one or two of the things that I mentioned in this sermon as we were traveling through it, these specific things that the local church in the New Testament prayed for. It will be in one or both of those boxes there. This church is praying this week for God's wisdom, just like they did in the New Testament. Okay? Now, does this make sense what I'm saying to you? You're grasping this a little bit. It'll take us a while to get into the routine, but you will be led in this. It's not a 10-headed monster, okay? You will have leaders in place and guiding and leading and directing. I'll lead when we're all in here. The Sunday school teachers will lead in the Sunday school groups, and the deacons will lead in the deacon groups. And we're gonna come together and pray and ask God to help us. Okay? So please take this. This is for you to take home and pray about and pray through here. Let me make sure that I have gone over everything here with you. Praying over this personally in your own prayer life. I've got down, it's great to pray as a church, but use this as a personal prayer list. I've told the Sunday school workers that I will train you, just like I did with the deacons, about the actual prayer meeting. Here's what to do and all these kind of things, and that will be good, okay? Now, what I'd like to do, I'd like to ask for all the deacons who are here and all the Sunday school teachers who are here. That includes the grades. That includes preschool all the way through. Because I may end up having you occasionally go to your departments with your teachers, and you're praying as the sixth grade, or you're praying for the third grade, and you're praying for your department. Just kind of be ready to go with the flow a little bit. Okay? Make sense what I'm saying to you? All right. So I'd like all Sunday school teachers and all deacons and all staff members as well, if you wouldn't mind, I want you to come up here with me, and let's get on our knees. If you can't get on your knees, just have a seat, or whatever the case may be. And I want to pray for us that we will be the leaders that God wants us to be. And then I'm going to have Brother Wade with all of you all gathered here at the altar. I'm going to have Wade come as soon as I get done. And I want you to specifically pray for the sweetheart dinner, this sweetheart banquet. There's a lot of people been invited. Let's pray they come. Pray for Todd Abbey as he preaches. And let's ask God to help us with this, okay? So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray. And Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that this prayer meeting is the will of God. And I pray that you help these leaders who are on their knees. Help these Sunday school teachers and these deacons and these staff members and myself who will be leading in these prayer meetings. I pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to be the leader that you desire us to be. Help us to realize as leaders we must set the example and help our prayer life to be where it needs to be. Not one of us here, Lord, I believe would say that we've arrived in our prayer life, but we desire to improve, to go forward. And I pray for these upcoming prayer meetings. Give us wisdom on how to run them, how to handle them. Bless the deacons who will lead their group, the Sunday school workers that will lead their group. Maybe occasionally, Lord, we might pray for specific things and specific groups of people. I pray that you give us wisdom. Help us to understand. Bless now, please. May your will be done, and help our hearts as leaders to be right, to be holy, to be in tune with God. Bless this. We know the devil's going to attack it. Give us the fortitude to go forward, and may thy will be done. Please, we pray.
Lord, I come to you tonight and humbly acknowledge on behalf of myself and your congregation here that we need you. that we cannot accomplish your work without your help. And through prayer, we ask now for tomorrow night that you would bless it, Lord, that you would touch it. The Holy Spirit, I ask even now and tomorrow night that you would start to minister and that you would start to tenderize hearts of those who will come and in need your Son as their Savior. I beg now for their souls, Lord. I ask for them. I pray for them. Please, Lord, send folks our way. Touch Brother Abby. Lord, give him the exact words to say, the phrase, the tone. Every word would be measured and taught by you tomorrow night. Lord, remind those of us who have invited people to touch back with them tonight, tomorrow, put them on our hearts. Help us to follow up with them. Help us to do your work, to realize the importance of it, to not go through the day with not realizing that God our Father has a plan that we should accomplish for him. Lord, thank you for our pastor's vision. Thank you for putting this on his heart. Bless it. Lord, please continue to have your hand upon our church. I thank you for it in my life and that my soul has been saved through this ministry. Bless, Lord, again, we're needy. We cast that need upon you that we cannot complete this work tomorrow night without your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. I'm excited about this. The Lord's behind it. The Lord's pleased with it. Now let's go forward and do it for the glory of God. Amen tonight, friends. Hope you're on board with it. Get on board if you're not. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed, okay? If you need to see me, I'll be up here for just a few minutes.